something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we saw Bruce.
We met Gord.
And we visited Letterkenny. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello.
TNT 113, do-do-da-da-da. TNT 113, and we're together.
We're together. Set the scene for the people. Set the stage.
We are in the birthplace of Gordon Lightfoot, Orillia, Ontario, together.
Where 98% of people said yes. Do you remember that ad campaign?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was Anniston, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they went to different towns across, I think Lunenburg was one. And Orillia, 98% of people said yes to Anniston. It was an ad campaign from, like, the early 80s, probably.
I do remember that.
Somebody's going to find it.
We're going to be rocking the Mariposa stage this afternoon and evening, emceeing with the likes of, hopefully, a dropped-in Gordon Lightfoot. We're going to
see. Fingers crossed, but here's what happened. He showed up last night. Yeah. There's always Mariposa every year, though this is my first time here. Gordon Lightfoot tends to drop by, and he'll just show up and play a couple tunes. Yeah. And we saw a picture of our bod Goose, who plays in Sloan,
yes,
with Lightfoot backstage last night, and that was the first inkling that Gord hopped up a day before.
Yeah, and it's actually still sunny, so he might show up again today.
But on the summer side of life, he might get up and do a couple of tunes for us, especially once he gets wind that Bruce Coburn is the headliner.
Well, I'm sure he knows that, all right? He could be actually, I bet you Bruce is at his house right now.
I bet Gord's going to hop up and say, you know, when I turned down the headline spot tonight, I said, why don't you give it to Bruce because the kid's been working hard and could use a break. So this is what they do at Mariposa Festival. When your name's the likes of us, you get to stay at the dorm at Lakehead University.
Lakehead University, which I didn't know they had a branch here in Orillia.
So just to set the scene, we have adjoining his and his rooms.
Yeah.
With a shared bathroom, Bob.
Uh-huh. So we got to like knock to make sure the other isn't in the bathroom.
Yep.
We haven't had any situations yet.
I can lock your door from inside.
That's right.
And you can lock my door from inside.
Yeah.
So, or I suppose we could both go in there and both lock our doors so other people couldn't come in.
Yeah.
There's a variety of possibilities. Great Lake Swimmers are there tonight too. And my friend Russell DeCarl from Prairie Oyster, one of the best singers in Canadian country history for sure.
And they're doing the full Last Waltz concert, which should be a blast. One of my favorite films/albums/musicians getting together styles.
Well, one of the highlights for me, we were in Fredericton for Canada Day last weekend. It was a good time. Lots of buds. Our friend Nick brought us there, which was awesome. And one of the highlights was I Mother Earth was playing on stage with Edwin,
mm-hmm,
and they called you up to play percussion.
We got up there for a little jamsy.
There was no got up there.
Us drummers, me of the two drummers.
I know. They said, we need a drummer quick. And it was like, well, why don't you go, Jeremy?
Yeah, the Bod Daniel from the Mothers, the percussionist, said, hey, come on up, just like old times. So back in the day when we used to tour together, I would always hop up and jam with those guys because it's fun and they're great musicians and... It was just a throwback in my brain.
Well, is it like riding a bike? Did you find when you got up there, it came back pretty quick?
Well, because I'm not a conga player by trade, but I had a great time. So yeah, it did definitely feel like we were off and on the wagon running. There was like an element of like there's so much fun stuff to play with that I might have overdone it a little bit. But hey,
I think the audience would beg to differ. I didn't realize what a jam band they are.
Yeah.
Like, they take a four-minute song and make it nine.
Well, Jag is a fantastic guitar player, and I think they're one of those bands that were always... Some of my favorite bands always had an element of showing their own individual performance, like showcasing their skill, having the ability to kind of jam on their own terms, and that's why... A lot of those types of bands that do it. I mean, from Santana to the Grateful Dead to the band. I mean, whenever they do that, it's kind of a break for the musician to enjoy themselves. Because that's why they play music, is so they can just play, have an element of improvisation to it.
I dug it. And it was awesome to see up there in your element. And one of the neat things about festivals like that and like this one is you get to see some old favorites. Like, I'm really excited to see Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Great Lake Swimmers. But last weekend in Fredericton, we saw Glorious Sons for the first time. Mm-hmm. And in the words of Kim Mitchell, those guys plow.
Yes, they were fantastic.
And I found out afterwards they did a show at in Moncton at like 5:30.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they did the 9:30 spot, or it must have been a little later in Fredericton.
They burrowed on through.
And they really put on a show, man. They were great. And, you know, the first five rows of the place were singing every lyric and hanging on every note.
And by the end of it, everyone was going crazy.
Yeah. It was a fun weekend, bud.
It really was. It was nice to spend Canada Day and Freddie.
So indulge me while I ask again about festival living. We bumped into Russell DeCarl on our way in here. He was on his way over to do a workshop at Mariposa. Is that what most festivals are like?
No, not normally. I mean, I think Mariposa is more of a collective of a lot of folk artists, and probably for these musicians that are here, it's kind of like a reunion of sorts every year. So I'm sure a workshop would entail just people that are into the craft getting together and listening to him play and talk about the songwriting process and all that stuff. So this is a little bit different here. Mariposa is kind of a individually happening scene.
It's like squishy. It's kind of like Old Home Week. Like the Bare Nakeds played here last night, but they probably burrowed back home, right?
Yeah, for sure.
They probably didn't stay at Lakehead University in the dorm.
They burrowed past Burrells Creek all the way back home.
We drove past Burrells Creek. How awesome was that?
Not my mom. Not the creek that runs through the Taggarts, Burrell Taggarts.
Right.
Property.
But she spells it differently.
B-E-R-Y-L. This was B-U-R-L's.
All the B-E-R-Y-L's I've known in my life are Burrell.
Yeah.
How is she Burrell?
Well, I think it just got just called Burrell so much. I'm sure she was like, it's Burrell, and then it's like Burrell.
After a while, it was like, don't care what it is.
And my dad being kind of the broken down Scottish New York accent, just I'm sure Burrell was the way it works.
Did he have a broke when you were
here? He had a hardcore Scottish accent when he grew up in New York, but then he kind of adapted to the New York kind of Bronx, his buddy's accent for the 50s, and then by the time he got to Toronto in the 60s, he just sounded hammered.
So you never knew him with a Scottish accent?
No, not when I was growing up. But he can rip into it pretty good.
Ronnie?
Yeah.
I guess
Roddy Weekly.
I guess we can confess, because by the time this comes out, it will have happened.
What?
Our plan is tomorrow, because we're road tripping in the summertime, we're going to go down and visit the Letterkenny guys in Sudbury, and they don't know we're coming.
Yeah. They don't have a clue.
I like a surprise. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We'll never be closer, and they're in production right now. So we're going to go down and lay some new swag on them. Yeah. I guess we can announce, too, that we've partnered with the guys from New Scotland.
Yes.
An awesome clothing company from Halifax, mm-hmm. all Canadian made. They did a couple new designs for us. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have some new Bud merchandise. And the best part is these guys have retail outlets. One in Dartmouth, two in Halifax, and one at the Halifax Airport. And they're going to carry our TNT swag.
How about that?
How about that?
New Scotland clothing action with Taggart and Torrance.
What's not fun about that?
It's fantastic.
Yesterday, we had our kids' party. Carol told both of the girls they could invite their entire class to come over for some bunch of balloons and some Sunday making and just some general running around mayhem.
Summer partying.
I think we said to them beforehand, you know, if it goes well, we could do this every year. And that was a lot of kids. There were like 36 kids there.
That's the best, isn't it? Is it fun? Do you like it?
It really was. We were having the discussion beforehand about whether it's best if people drop their kids or it's best if they stay. What's your gut tell you on that?
You need a few hands. You can't just have one person doing it. So usually a few parents is great, but sometimes too many parents is not great, because if you have like the helicopter folks just kind of always getting involved or telling other kids what to do around the kid.
And then you feel like you have to entertain the parents.
Yeah. But I think a small group of people watching them, because, kids usually just want to have a good time.
We had lots of backup with other adults and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, I am always surprised at how unafraid I am to be that guy who's like, you, what's your name? Put the balloon down. You're not listening to me.
Yeah?
I can be firm, Dad. I think big time.
Well, no, but what about when kids are getting out of hand? Because my son, Jack, gets hanging out with his friend, and they kind of get that thing. And he's older now. He's 9. But I get the eye rolls now.
In front of his friends?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So it's like, how do you, and you know, when they're being kind of persuaded into the don't listen to your parents thing.
What do you do?
I don't know. I'm right in it. I'm on it. What am I going
to
do here?
Do you shut it down?
I'm trying, but it's hard. It's really difficult to get their attention or to try and get them to stop not listening.
Well, I know nothing stings more than you're showing off. I remember the couple times my mom threw, "You're showing off at me," and that hurts.
But now I'm getting that thing where you say something like that and they look at you like, okay, geez, like, oh, old man, like, whatevs. Like, forget it.
At nine, the whatevs are kicking in?
Yeah, like that thing of where I say something and it's like, there's nothing I can say that sounds cool or hip right now. Like, I'm totally the dad mode. Like, I'm stuck in dad joke. My son sometimes, like, they're like,
not funny.
That's not funny, and it's like making them cringe. And it's like, I'm like, I can't, it happens to everybody. It doesn't matter if your dad's Richard Pryor. They're going to think you're just cringing out. Yes, it's unbelievable.
I think the eye rolling is a bit hard to take.
It is.
The eye rolling and the sigh.
Yeah.
Like you don't understand anything.
They were jumping in the trampoline and his friend was telling, kind of like acting like, okay, get the ball. Okay, you can go to me, like telling me what to do. And I'm like, okay. I said, I don't play that stuff. You can't do that. But they weren't listening. This is a summer thing, a project.
I am always surprised when I spend time around a group of kids, and I don't know why, because you think, oh, they're kids. Kids are adorable. Kids are great. But of course, just like any group of people, some kids are annoying. Some kids are lippy. Some kids are sweet. Some kids are quiet. And it's hard to police that stuff. Yeah. But I do go by my house, my rules.
Yeah.
Like, not in a jerky way. I don't think anyone would have left saying that guy's a jerk, but I definitely shut stuff down when it started to get out of control.
We'll see how this goes, but because my son is just not like that normally, so we're going to try and steer the ship back.
You let the first couple slide?
Yeah, I might have to be like, get the fuck out of my house.
To your own kid.
No, not my own kid. The other kid.
I had an exciting thing happen in my life this week, and it was because... we've been going to soccer every Monday and Wednesday with both girls for the last month. And Shug's played before, so she gets it. But this is Indy's first summer playing soccer. And it was like on Wednesday night, like the object of the game kicked in. And she was like, oh, I get it. And she started taking the ball from people and running it down the field. And she scored her first goal.
Nice! Yeah.
And I wish... I cared less about her scoring her first goal because she'd come so close several times.
Yeah.
And just her confidence was so boosted by it. And I don't want to be the guy in a rage or in a lather pacing, you know, the length of the under six field.
Yeah.
But it was really exciting.
But it's funny because that Annalise, when she was playing last summer, was the same thing. Like, it's just this whole group of girls all chasing the ball around.
Yeah.
And nobody really wants to... be aggressive and get the ball, so they're just kind of all laughing and running and kicking the ball. And then there's like the one kid, like you said, that gets it.
He's a savage.
And they get like seven goals.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because that seems to be the case.
Yeah, in one or two
Indies League too, who are just firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, they get like seven goals, all of them.
But in a way, it is counter everything you teach them as parents. Like, Shug will step aside to let someone come through with the ball because she doesn't want to be rude or mean or take the thing from another kid. Like, it is different. It's hard to explain that. Oh, no, it's okay in this particular context to be a total nightmare.
Yeah. And Jack's the same, and John. Like, they are getting to that level now. It's like where they're starting to understand either you have to be aggressive or you're going to get bowled over.
Right.
So, yeah.
Who's playing like super competitive?
Jack is. He's on a team, the rep team, where they have to practice three times and play tournaments out of town. And
it's a lot.
It's a little bit more, but I mean, the level that he's getting to is great. So it's fun. You know, it's good to know competition when you're young, and if you're into it, getting it. They don't like keep score necessarily. It's not about winning, but it's more about like technique and the way they pass and having that kind of being in position, and it's pretty interesting.
I like the fact that Monday nights is like drills, and then Wednesday night is like a game, so they get a little bit of both. Obviously, it doesn't really matter in the big picture who wins. They don't actively keep score, but I'm a firm believer in you win some, you lose some, as being an important lesson in life.
Are you looking forward to our roadie tomorrow?
Yes.
We have a nice 7-hour roadie tomorrow.
I know. It's going to be 3 hours to burl down to Sudbury.
Yeah.
Say hi to the Letterkenny buds. We're burling up.
And then we burl down.
Then we're burling back down to Toronto because I have to get back to work on Mr. D and you have to get back for summer commitments and stuff.
Yep.
Soccer and what have you.
Yes.
We started shooting the 7th season of Mr. D last week. That's a great gig.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Halifax. It's great hours. It's nice people. It's making funny faces on the TV.
Yeah.
And I've promised, because the last couple of months have been pretty intense, I've promised myself, with the exception of one gig, I'm going to take September off.
Wow.
Because October, when the book comes out...
We're rocking.
We're rocking. Yeah. And the first week that the book comes out, October 17th to 24th-ish, we're kind of in the middle of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is it now the second week of November? Looks like we're in...
the West.
The West.
Yes.
Including Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So really stoked for that.
It's a nice little... we're actually, by the end of it, we'll be touching everywhere and probably maybe throw in another East Coast run towards the end of the year
or something,
just to tie the whole thing together.
Yeah.
To talk to the buds with the book in hand.
Yeah, it'll be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
Giddy up, bud.
So do you want to talk about what we're going to try and do on this episode today?
Because
we're going to actually do a couple of things. We're going to play a few games. We're going to do a little Andrea and them.
Yep.
And we're also going to maybe record a little road trip fun.
Sounds awesome.
Yes.
We were debating actually recording the whole episode on the drive.
Yeah.
But then we were worried that the sound might not be awesome.
Yeah, we don't want to interfere with the car driving. But hitting the post in the car might be fun.
Might be really fun, especially now that we've kind of nailed the sound thing. It feels like we're tempting fate a little bit to try to mess it up by doing it in a moving car. But we have a sick Ford Taurus.
Yeah.
Total upgrade from the Hyundai Elantra.
And Mac Daddy rims.
Mac Daddy rims.
Yeah.
So your special Canada aired on Canada Day on CBC, and I got really nice and positive feedback.
Yes, it was good times.
But it's funny how...
It was funny.
Thanks, bud. I think my mom said, and I think I've said this before, she made 100 birthday cakes in the time that she was kind of mom of 5 kids, and she burnt one, and she says that's the only one we ever talked about. It's funny how you get a lot of positive feedback, and people really liked it, and this, you know, Thank You Canada, Alanis video traveled far and wide, has close to 2 million views. It just went crazy. And by the way, I should mention that it was Alanis herself that gave us permission to use the song eventually, because we weren't having much luck with Universal, and it's hard to get through the labels and stuff.
Nice.
It's meant to be like a sweet... tribute to the country and celebration of the cliches, not unlike we do on this show. But there were a couple of people that go out of their way to be mean-spirited in their criticism of it.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to engage, but it always feels better when you don't.
Yeah. Or just, I find that it's best to not talk about those situational opinions or people because... That's what they want.
Totally.
You know what I mean? I've been there with reviews on albums or, you know, live shows or whatever, good or bad. You just have to kind of talk about what you're doing and not cater to all of a sudden somebody's opinion meaning something just because they tied some nice words together, good or bad, about you.
Well, the thing is, in a couple of these cases, these people are professional grumps.
Yeah,
and
they always are.
There's no second gear. Like, what's your long ball if you're a professional grump? Because the most you can ever aspire to is even grumpier. And I think the thing that chafed for them was that it was intended to be sincere, and it was intended to be our kind of, but seriously, at the end of a very silly hour.
Mm-hmm.
So out of context, I guess their knock was that it was too saccharine or something.
Wow.
But I feel bad for those dudes in a way because it must feel awful to ingest everything from the standpoint of what's wrong with this? What can I rip apart about this? How can I dissect this in a way that is satisfying?
Well, it's like sports journalism. It has to kind of have some anger or there's something wrong with somebody,
right,
or they're a cancer in the locker room, or, you know, there's always some tinge of the personal opinion of the writer that sells the papers or gets people clicking on the websites generally. And it's always those type of writers that are like the same guys that are getting throwing their names thrown around where I can't stand this person, or if you see any tweet by them, there's a barrage of hatred after it every single time.
Right.
But they're the most popular writers for some reason, you know what I mean?
Well, so no, it's also a better story.
It's yeah, exactly.
I watched this thing, it wasn't bad, isn't a real story.
It's easier to rip something apart than to kind of give it credibility or try and, if you enjoy it, to talk about it. People, for some reason, don't care about that.
So if a record came out and it got reviewed badly, what was your move? Would you
contact
the person directly or engage or just...
No, I never really cared unless it was a personal attack, you know what I mean? I mean, it's... You can't... I don't think I could say you're right or wrong or care if somebody hates the music, because that's their own personal opinion.
Right.
It's when it's about somebody or there's something wrong with a person in the band, or when they start getting personal about it, that's when it takes a different form. But that's kind of life these days when you're in social media. Everybody has an opinion, and no matter what you say, there's always a percentage of it that's going to be annoying.
And don't get me wrong, I like and welcome criticism, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's not all wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just part of the gig, bud.
Part of the game, let's...
113 is just getting rolling.
Yeah.
It's our road trip spectacky.
Fucking right, eh?
Oh, it's 8:15 in the damn arena, and I'm gonna go. Oh, hang on it. Wrench, idea... Part 2, take 2. Oh, it's 8:15 and I'm... Oh, hang on. Oh, it's 8:15 and the damn ball ring and I'm gonna go. And it's 8...
Oh. Laramie.
No, what?
Sorry to freaking bother you. I just,
I'm just writing. I'm trying to write here.
What are you writing about 8:15?
It's just a song, man. It's just like I'm...
A.M. or P.M.?
Nighttime, man. It's a bit personal.
What's the symbolism of 8:15, I wonder?
It's just it's a long story, okay? It's just about
me. I have time.
It's about me, and like I was at this castle, and this girl in a dress, a dark dress.
Hang on 1 second. I'm just going to pause Jeopardy, because I was doing some squats.
Can I at least finish here?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll be right back. You just carry on.
Take 3, wrench, and it's 8:15 and the damn ball read and I'm gonna go.
Final Jeopardy, this fellow bet $0 because he was enough ahead that the
Andrea,
math checked it.
What? Andrea, what? I'm trying to write here.
Well, I'm just right curious about your process because...
What do you mean right curious? You're talking. I'm trying to write. Can I write?
Yeah, just I'll be like a fly on the wall. You won't even know I'm here.
Just let me record this, okay? I gotta get the idea out. This could be a hit.
Well, now I've always wondered that. Like, do you have to feel sad if you're gonna be right artistical?
Andrea, please, I don't want to forget this idea. Hang on a second.
Fine.
Just be quiet.
Do you want me to hit the record button or something?
Shut up! Okay. Come on, wait. Wrench, part 3. Part take 3.
Ever artsy,
and
like
it's
you're
8:15
you're right upset.
In a tambourine, and I'm gonna go.
The hairs in the back of my neck are sticking right up.
Andrea, come on, man.
But it might be because the air conditioning's broke.
I can't do this anymore. Like, I gotta do this. I have a show at Sneaky D's this Friday.
Laramie, can I ask you something?
What?
Just like if you write about what you know, right? When you're writing a song?
Yeah.
So if I was gonna write about what I know, it'd be about like DiGiorno and like my job's okay and like one of my car lashes blew off the Cavalier.
Yeah.
It sounds like what you're writing's right dark.
Well, you know, I mean, you know how I am. I mean, look at my clothes. I mean, look at my eyeliner. I mean, look at my gloves.
Yeah, but really, what do you have to feel so bad about? It's like you have a case of the grumpies.
That's just the way I work.
Do you need a hug?
No, I don't, Andrea. I just need some time to write.
Okay, well, maybe I can write it with you. Like Islands in the Stream. I'm sure Kenny and Dolly sit down beside
each
other.
Could you just, please, take 4,
wrench idea. And it's 8:15 and the damn ball read and I'm gonna go.
Okay, Andrea,
I've always
seriously,
wanted to do, like, when they do the harmonies.
This isn't gonna work.
Just try it again. I'd love to be able to send
something
home.
And it's 8:15, and the damn ball read, and I'm gonna go.
Is that what you do when you're singing harmonies? You just, like, pick one note, and you sing that over and over again?
That's like a vacuum note or something. What is that?
Well, it's funny, because I do sing a lot with the Dyson when I'm sucking up the crumbs, Chippy's crumbs, on the living room carpet. And I do often find it's in the same key.
Chippies.
Guess what? I got his and hers chippies at Costco on the way home. You have your own bag.
Oh, that was fun.
Do you want to watch Wimbledon with me with his and hers chippies?
Got your whites?
I went to Clay Cafe and I made you your own bowl. It looks like it says Parami because the paint ran a bit.
There's a place by me where you do that. You then make your pot.
Yeah.
It's called Your Fire.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's spelled Y-O-U-R.
Of course it is. It's spelled. Of course it is.
So I guess it means it's your fire, like you bring it.
And oh my gosh. Let's have a contest with the buds for the best pun business name. TNT pun business name. Send us a picture of the place in your town. There are so many in Halifax, and most of them are hair salons, like Curl Up and Die, or Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow, or Cut Above the Rest. Pun names. They're the best.
Oh, I got it. We got to have a game with the pun names.
Let's do it.
Ready?
We just had, okay, so we give a pun name and you have to guess what it is?
Yeah.
What the business is?
If it's real or not.
Okay. We just had an idea between sections that maybe Mr. Magic is Andrea's dad.
Yeah.
How has that never occurred to us before?
I don't know, but it will happen in an episode coming up.
He does the chicken and egg
magic
trick on Laramie.
And Laramie's trying to do something else.
I have to tell you before we get to the pun business name, Joyce, who is the inspiration for Bonnie L., turned 90 on Canada Day.
Congrats.
And she lives alone, and she's awesome. And as you know, she has Jose the Blue Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Jose the Blue Jay had a wife, and they have two kids. And they've all since left the nest.
Mm-hmm.
But Joyce buys cashews at the bulk barn and crushes them up, so they come back all the time. And the Blue Jays are so comfortable with Joyce now, they will land on her head.
Wow.
That's the upside.
But she says she's been giving them ground up cashews.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you do that?
Big time. So that's the upside. The downside is she's washing her hair a lot more because she's not sure what the Blue Jays might be bringing with them when they land on her head.
Oh, yeah.
But does that not say a lot about somebody, that Blue Jays are comfortable enough around you that they'll land on your head?
She's a beauty.
She's a beaut.
I love her. I love her.
Okay, pun names.
Yeah.
I think, here's what we do. I think I should look up the best pun names, and then you have to guess if it's a real one or a fake one.
Okay, but we should take a break before we start this.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, okay, hang on one sec, Bods.
Let me ask you this right quick, you know what I mean?
Let's play the new game.
Shop or sham?
Shop or sham.
We'll give each other names of a business, and you have to guess if it's a shop or a sham.
Yeah.
Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, you ready for this place?
Yep.
Shop or sham? Larger than life, plus sizes. Larger than life, plus sizes.
That's got to be a shop.
It's a shop.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two in the same category.
All right.
And you have to tell me if they're both real or they're both fake.
Okay.
These are flower shops.
Okay.
Austin Flowers and Florist Gump. Shop or sham?
Austin Flowers
and Florist Gump.
Florist Gump. Florist Gump sounds fake, like sham. And Austin Flowers, for some reason, sounds like a shop.
They're both shops.
They're both shops?
Florist Gump.
Oh, man.
I love that someone had that idea and then was like, oh, what the hell, let's call it that.
Okay, you ready for this one?
Yep.
Shop or sham? The organ donor keyboard rentals. Shop or sham?
Oh, man.
Come on down to the organ donor keyboard rentals.
It's so sick. It must be a shop.
It's a sham.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you three names.
Okay.
And one of them is a sham.
All right.
These are all food-related stores.
Okay.
Bread Pit.
Oh, no.
Bread Zeppelin.
No.
Tom Shanks.
Tom Shanks?
Yeah.
Like Mayor Tommy Shanks?
It's like a meat.
Like a meat place?
Yeah.
I would say Tom Shanks is a shop.
Tom Shanks is the sham.
No! Okay. The other two are real?
Bread Pitt and Bread Zeppelin are real.
Bread Pitt? That's ridiculous.
Bread Pitt Bakery.
I'm getting the soup down at Bread Pitt today. Okay, here's
Hit
one.
Me.
Gottfried or Gottfried Electric? Gottfried.
Come on.
Gottfried or Gottfried Electric.
Like Gilbert Gottfried?
Kind of, yeah. Shop or sham?
Again, it's so sick, I'm going to say it's a shop.
It's a shop.
Gottfried Electric. Okay.
Yeah.
Faux. You know faux?
Yeah, like F-A-U-X?
No, P-H-O.
Oh, faux, okay.
Faux shizzle. Faux shizzle.
Faux shizzle?
Shop or sham?
Shop or sham? That sounds like a shop.
That's
like
a shop.
Some hipster
faux
shop.
Faux shizzle.
Yeah. Trying to be all cool. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Forest Dump Plumbing.
Come on.
Forest Dump Plumbing. Shop or sham?
Come on.
Shop or sham? Forest Dump Plumbing.
I hope more than I can even express that it's a sham.
It's a shop.
Oh my gosh. What do they do?
Forest Dump! Forest Dump!
More than Forest Dump.
What do you mean, what do they do? They,
like when there's forest a, dump?
No, forest. Like a forest dump,
oh
which is even more.
Oh my gosh.
That's even more dirty.
Forest Dump.
Yeah. Like, you're going! You're going! It's going!
Forced Dump.
It's going!
Okay, this one might be my favorite. Thai, T-H-A-I, Tannic. Thai, Tannic.
Is it a
shop or sham? Thai restaurant.
Oh.
Thai, Tannic.
No way. That'd be a good name for a tonic. Thai Tonic?
Thai Tonic.
I'm going to say that's a shop.
Titanic is a shop, yeah.
Definitely shop. It's as ridiculous as I've seen. Dead Sleep Mattresses. Dead Sleep Mattresses.
Oh my god.
Shop or sham? Come on down to Dead Sleep. Whatever you like. From Casper to Stearns and Foster.
Dead Sleep.
Yeah.
That's a sham.
That is a sham.
Okay.
Nice one. Who the heck wants to dead sleep?
Here's two computer-related ones. Bits and PCs. And Alan Cartridge.
No way!
Shop or sham?
No chance. Alan Cartridge is definitely a sham.
It's a shop.
No, it's not!
Alan Cartridge.
Oh my god. What is it, like a Radio Shack
It's
deal?
Like a place to get a cartridge. Alan Cartridge.
Like ink? Or just like gadgetry.
No, like cartridges, like for
ink.
Yeah.
Did you know that ink's the most expensive liquid on the planet?
Why?
It just is.
Wasn't
it's like $50 for one of those little tiny things.
I've never even considered what ink is.
Yeah, but it's a liquid gold.
What is it
liquid
really?
Diamonds. What ink is?
Yeah.
I think it's like from what is it from? Do they use that? Everything seems to be from like fish scales at the end of the day, right?
I don't know what ink comes from.
Ink? Is it drained out of the, sired out of the brain before death?
Or out of a coral reef?
Yeah.
Because I learned doing this thing at the Global Strategic Maple Syrup Reserve that a barrel of syrup is worth more than a barrel of oil. I didn't know
that. Wow, that's cool.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, ink. Is it from squid?
We'll have to go to the Google on that one. Tow truck company.
Okay.
Camel Tow.
No chance. That's a sham. That's too greasy.
That's a shop, but...
That's a shop. Wow.
Imagine the logo.
Imagine getting yelling at Camel the person toe. In there.
Call Camel Toe. What? Camel
Toe. You guys toe. Took my car. You ready for the last one I got?
Yes.
Belt Buster Subs.
Shop.
Sham. Belt Buster. I went with the real simple, like you could see it on like the on like King Street and Alliston.
You styles. Really could.
Come on down.
Here's the speed round. Shop or sham? Java the Hutt?
Shop.
Correct. Planet of the Vapes?
Shop.
Correct. Indiana Bones and the Temple of Groom?
Is that like...
You drop your pets off there to get groomed and stuff.
Pet shop.
Yeah, shop. Jean-Claude?
No.
Van Man.
What is it? A van
He's
guy?
Like a guy who like moves stuff in a van.
No, he doesn't.
Jean-Claude Van Man.
No way.
That's is a it shop.
The it's Donnie, the popular girl guy. Do him like saying.
Okay, guys, the only guy.
He comes to
see Jean-Claude Van Man.
What
That's
do you
a shop.
What
That's
do you
real.
Need picked up? Here, I'm calling this place. Ring, ring.
Hello, Jean-Claude Van Man.
Hi, Jean-Claude.
This is he.
I have some stuff in my garage.
How much does it weigh?
It's about I don't know, 600 pounds.
Do you have the measurement?
Yeah, for sure. It's 16 by 4.
Inch or centimeters?
Inches.
16 inches by 4 inches.
Are you gonna start?
You should call Force Dump.
You're gonna start singing perfect.
Sorry, can't be perfect. Okay, sheer
okay, good.
Sheer lock combs.
No,
sheer
no.
lock combs.
That's a shop, because I
a
would
shop.
Go there.
Two more.
Okay.
Pita Pan.
No, that's a shop.
That's
I
a
it.
Shop.
Love it.
Last one.
Okay.
Specs in the City. Optometrist.
No, it's not. It's a shop for sure.
That's a shop.
It is.
Shop or Sham is my new favorite game.
You don't even have to make them up.
Specs in the City.
The real ones are better.
I know. That's the thing. But send us your pun business names, hashtag TNT pun business names, and a brand new Scotland TNT t-shirt.
Is coming your way.
Is coming your way. Let's take a break on TNT 113.
We have all kinds of fancy sizes, too.
You're not kidding.
And the necks, if you like the scoop.
Specs.
The V.
In the City. We'll be right back.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
And we're back.
This is not a drill, bots. We met Gord.
Yes. We met Gord. We're driving home in the car, so bear with us with the hum that you might hear.
We finally cracked the sound nut.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's going to be a little boomy.
Yeah.
But we just had to report live from the field.
Yes.
In 24 hours, starting yesterday afternoon, we hosted Mariposa. Bruce Coburn was a headliner. And then we pulled off a sneaky Sudbury surprise visit to the set of Letterkenny. So as far as Canadianity goes... That's swinging bells, bud.
We got it on lockdown, not to mention the getting to watch Bruce Coburn from side stage.
Well, let's start there because I knew he was a monster and his musical chops are well documented. But it says a lot about a guy who can come out by himself with a guitar and keep the audience rapt. And as someone pointed out last night, you know how good he is because there was a downpour in the middle of his set and nobody moved.
No. And to sit there and like when he started I think it was when he started wondering where the lions are, I just started feeling like I was in like a place that I didn't think I was gonna get to. Like that perfect, the sun was out and he's just sitting there just kind of you know, looking a little frail, like when he walked up there, but as soon as he sat down and started playing, he's just such an incredible guitar player.
Well, it's also the weirdest thing to say about a performer, but he really sounds like Bruce Coburn. Like, his voice hasn't faltered or waned or evolved or devolved.
Yeah.
He still sounds as good as he always did. And, man, to make one guitar sound like that many guitars all at once... is incredible. And I'd be curious to know if some guitar nerds listening know why, but he has two patch cords going in the bottom of his guitar. And one, I think, is going to the amp, and the other one's going to a pedal board, but I've never seen two patch cords, two quarter-inch patches in the bottom of a guitar.
Some kind of happening new technique that Bruce is holding on to there.
Well, and he's got, he's obviously got this little wall of sound. There's a guy named Jerry Jackman who's our boom operator on Mr. D this summer, and he's from Newfoundland.
Yeah.
And he did sound for years in Newfoundland for live music events, and he did it for Bruce, and he said that he likes to have kind of monitors in front of him and monitors beside him. Mm-hmm. And we discovered that the sound on the side of the stage was okay.
Yeah.
But when we stepped away from the stage, the sound was unbelievable. Yeah. And that's because we were hearing his little feed. Mm. And he uses in-ear monitors, which kind of surprised me, because sometimes the guys that have been around for a long time don't, right?
Yeah. And when, by having in-ear monitors, there is no monitors on stage, so you can't hear his voice that loud. So when you went out front, it sounded exactly, it was like so loud and present. The guitar sounded incredible. And actually, some of the versions of the songs that he did, like Rocket Launcher, were, I preferred him just playing it acoustically. For some reason, they just came across, like, incredibly.
I really dug it, too. And one of those classic, like, it's obviously more of a concert than a show.
Yeah.
He just came out and sat down, and the banter was kept down to a dull roar. And as you pointed out, even some of his newer jams that you don't know as well were still, like, innovative and interesting and melodic.
Yes. So, it was the greatest night. We got to hang out with Russ.
Russell DeCarl, former lead singer of Prairie Oyster. And maybe while you're listening, you could take a second to Google this guy. Because just the very look of him makes me happy.
Yeah.
He's the real deal, man. He's an old-time country crooner.
Yeah.
But means every word that he sings. And his guitar is like 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a character.
And the fact that we were staying in a dorm.
Yeah, we were staying in a dorm.
So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, sharing, it was fun.
Sharing a bathroom.
Yeah.
And afterwards, after the show, we were hanging out with Russ, and people were playing guitars in the little commune room there.
Yeah.
So it was a great vibe. It felt like we were almost like in university, even though I've never been.
Okay, so I've never been either.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the gourd of it all.
Yeah, the gourdness.
He is gourd.
Yeah.
In Aurelia, as you might expect, and at Mariposa especially. And backstage at Mariposa, as there should be, there is a real deference to him. There's a real kind of awareness of where he is and what he's doing, and people kind of part the seas as he walks through.
Yeah.
So apparently, if history dictates, he kind of decides or doesn't to hop up on stage and do a couple of tunes. We can now confess that in our early version of the script, it said he was going to hop up on our night, Sunday night, to play a couple of tunes. In fact, he hopped up Saturday night and did a couple. So people weren't really sure if he was going to get up Sunday, because sometimes he likes to be there to play, and sometimes he likes to just come for the hang.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, have the ring kissed and be feted as he should be.
Yeah.
So he didn't get up and play, but we did meet him.
Yes. We got the pick. We got to see him. And we actually got to hang out with his daughter and talk to his wife and his ex-wife.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, we actually spent much of the night talking to his ex-wife, who was a lovely lady.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, sweet gal. And then that was it.
Yeah.
So we had our picture. It was a brief exchange. I think the look on our faces says it all.
Definitely.
We were pretty happy about
getting
it. I think I can say honestly that was kind of the dangling carrot for me of the whole night.
Yeah, and that's kind of why we were there, to be honest.
Yeah.
And as great as it was, it's a great festival. Probably one of the coolest run festivals I've ever seen in terms of not just the stuff, the great food and the great location, but the people were so nice that, you know, the fact that they had like blankets at the front of the stage, and like they were there Saturday, so nobody took their spot. Like, there were Canadianity everywhere. The fact that people weren't taken other people's space. So the first like 50 feet were all blankets that people were going to be there, but they weren't yet. But the bods just wouldn't take their spots. That's pretty cool.
So big thanks to Michael Hill for having us there.
Yep.
It was really a cool experience. And as far as Canadianity goes, I mean, Mariposa's legacy dates back a long time, and you hear the stories of Dylan, right? And Joni and Gord and folks showing up kind of unannounced. Yep. And, you know, Lightfoot got turned down the first time he wanted to play there because they thought he wasn't quite ready. And there's some great stories about people jumping up on stage unexpected in the last minute. Mm-hmm. Cuddy and Keeler have done it.
Yep. So that's it. We're roadieing. We got the roads going. We've come up with some pretty crazy little characters that maybe we should put them in the pod this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's drop them in. There's a few.
Yeah, we've got three, and I think you're really going to like these.
They're pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to be in the same place because we can kind of workshop some of this stuff and figure out how it should go. But they're a little out there, and they're kind of self-contained, and they're characters that could easily repeat.
Yeah.
And they were really making us laugh, and hopefully they'll make you guys laugh as much as it did us.
We have, where are we at? We're driving, I'd say we have another 3 hours to get to Toronto.
Yep.
So we're going to rock some jams, and I guess we'll probably, you want to play maybe a little road game or something like that?
Awesome.
A little roadie?
So let's let Tim drop in one of our new little characters.
Yeah.
And we'll be back.
Well, Pastor Pat, we are just tickled pink that you could join us for dinner this evening.
Oh, can you pass me the new potatoes, please?
Yes, but consider yourself warned. They just came out of the scalding water, okay?
Hot. Oh, hot. Hot.
Oh, dear.
What? Jesus fucking cocksucker, holy cocksucker!
It makes
me feel fine, blowing the
in my mind. Ah, that's a summer breeze by Seals and Crofts. It's 94.4 The Dock. It's Chair Baron.
And Colleen.
Yeah, how you doing, Colleen?
Oh, well, it feels like the middle of the afternoon to me. I've been stuck in summer traffic breeze, just exhaust fumes, because, as you know, Jer, when our contracts came up for renewal, you asked to be transferred to this station, which is closer to your cottage, and that works out great for one of us.
It sure does.
I'm not in a position to buy a place close to here, so Micah and I have chosen to stay at the duplex in which we live, 2.5-hour drive away.
Have you had a chance to see, there's some I was in Bala last week, there's some basement apartments that are available. You might, Micah could probably work at the ice cream shop there, too.
Well, as you know, I don't make nearly as much as you, so in the meantime, every single dollar I scrape together goes to either gas to drive up here, or to Micah's Jeet Kune Do.
You know what, I have a little Dora tent on the front lawn. Maybe you guys can check that out for the weekend. Maybe sleep in the tent, you and Micah. It's a little small, but it might work out.
That's exceedingly generous of you, Jer Bear. Unfortunately, we have some commitments this weekend. Micah is trying out for his school's badminton team.
Really?
Yeah, so I guess we'll see how many hours it takes me to get home tonight so I can pick up Micah at the sitters.
You know what? That's sweet. Very sweet. That's honeymoon sweet. Let's get some wave babies on the dock. 99.4. I don't understand that with the tension today. I mean, it just feels a little weird today. I don't know why you're talking like that.
Jerry, you know when the last rating book came out, they told us that the tension really works, that people really like it. So no matter what's going on in our private lives, we have to sound tense on air. That's just good business.
To be honest, I gotta have you. I mean, look, this song's 5 minutes. Let's just get to the bathroom.
We've talked about this. On air, tension.
Come on.
Off air, sexual tension.
Come on, let's...
People can never find out our secret.
Let's get into the bathroom.
Not at work. It's not gonna happen.
Oh no.
What?
We're hot.
I know we're hot, but you're gonna have to wait until...
No! The mics, we're hot! We're on the air!
Oh my Google. Welcome to the tour of the House of Commons. Folks, I thought we should start in the Confederation Room. This room is especially of note because it's the biggest common space in the entire... Sir, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to not vape. That's the first rule on the tour today.
What's that?
There's no vaping. And on.
Oh,
Parliament Hill.
Don't even worry about it.
I am kind of worried about it because part of my job is to conduct a safe and fun tour historic place.
How big is this room, anyway?
It's, well, if you could see the far end of the room through the cloud of smoke, you'd see it's 79 feet to the other. Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to stop vaping.
It's raspberry, man. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Sorry, everyone. Maybe you folks could take a look at the 6 crystal chandeliers that adorn the seat. Sir, vape guy.
What?
It's zero empathy, Matthew.
Hey, Aunt Margaret.
Oh, how are you, Ed?
Good. It's a really nice day out, so I'm not going to stay for long, but I just wanted to pop my head in your hospital room and just see how you're doing.
They're not great.
Wait, is that one of those beds that, like, moves up and down?
Nope. The doctor was in, and she told me that I...
Is this the handle that you used to move it up and down?
Sick.
Sick.
The doctor told me that my...
Hang on a sec. Does it go all the way flat?
Matthew.
That's so sick.
The doctor said
How far does it go up?
Matthew.
Sick.
I'm dying, Matthew. I'm dying.
I'm dying to try that bed. Are you allowed to get up or no?
Matthew, they give me 3 months to live.
Look at the rocket nurse. Is she on your floor all the time?
Matthew.
Oh, she's coming in here sick.
Zero empathy, Matthew.
Boom, gong, gang, go, ding, gong, ju, bong, bao, so, dun, do, da, dun, bam, bam, tick, a, dun, dow,